Hello and welcome to the ebook reading of Canadao, How We Return Power to the People, Booklet 1, The Stage is Set. I am Kyle Kemper and I will be facilitating this reading. If you'd like to support me on my journey, consider becoming a patron on Patreon. It is patreon.com/Kyle Kemper. You can also donate Bitcoin by simply scanning this code. I recommend the wallet Edge Wallet, but you are free to use whatever you like. All right, with no further ado, let's get into this. I introduced the book with a quote. And this is a quote by Buckminster Fuller, one of the greatest philosophers and thinkers of the 20th century. Quote goes like this: "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." Buckminster Fuller. What is a DAO? A DAO is a decentralized autonomous organization. It is an organization that's governed by code instead of leaders. Decisions made within the DAO are voted on by the human participants holding stake within the DAO. About the Canadao series. This series of booklets will explore governance reform from a wide range of perspectives. In it, we will dive into the opportunities, challenges, strategies, and considerations for how we bring about new systems of civic engagement. Book 1. The Stage is Set. First off, who am I? Who is Kyle Kemper? I'm a Canadian. I'm a father. I'm a technologist. A Bitcoin evangelist. A futurist, and an activator. I wrote a book in 2017 called The Unified Wallet, Unlocking the Digital Golden Age, where I explored how cryptocurrency can empower civilization through self-custody solutions that put the user in complete control. I have served as the executive director of the Blockchain Association of Canada, which has offered me unique insight into the state of Canadian systems and the realities of system change. I'm also the half-brother of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. I love my brother Justin, but that doesn't mean I need to agree with his words or believe in the integrity of his office. Being close to the political system, but not in the system, has given me a unique perspective on it. To me, it's apparent that there is a clear and present danger towards our Canadian way of life, the rule of law, our basic rights and freedoms. That is why it's important that I feel I must stand up and defend that and those I love from a fascistic agenda that is being championed by my half-brother and the people behind him. We cannot fix the system by fighting it. So we create. Concerning the trucker convoy. The mainstream media and the political elite have branded the convoy as an insurrection, an occupation, and a blockade. The reality is that it was a movement. Some may even say a freedom festival. For 17 days, hundreds of thousands of Canadians participated in an event unlike any the world has ever seen. I like to refer to what took place as Freezing Man. Similar to Burning Man, the 10 principles of Burning Man were on full display at Freezing Man. The result was a high vibrational unity and freedom gathering where people celebrated freedom and human connection behind a common purpose. That purpose was freedom and the desire to see a repeal of mandates that have been segregating, discriminating, intimidating, disconnecting, and endangering Canadians for the last 2 years. At the event's conclusion was a show of force that will get far more media play than the dance parties and bouncy castles, but that is to be expected. In the end, a massive number of Canadians from diverse backgrounds braved the heart of winter in Ottawa and had a life-changing experience. A safe and inclusive experience that allowed Canadians to be creatively expressive work together, share resources, dance, play, sing, clean up after each other, and be civically responsible through participation. Do not be discouraged by the conclusion. For 17 days of radical collaboration in the heart of Ottawa is a massive victory for freedom. Mandates are getting dropped, political puppets resigned and were exposed, and the world's perception of Canada shifted from being a nation in distress to a beacon of hope. Thank you, truckers. Thank you, Ottawa. Thank you, law enforcement. And thank you, Justin, for playing the part of the villain that has brought people together under the Canadian flag to stand up for the true North, strong and free. Now, it's time for all you participants to tell your stories. Return to your communities as heroes for freedom. Fear not oppression and retribution by the machine, for with all challenges come solutions. In the following pages, I will begin to outline how we can build a new model of governance using the technology of today. This model can transition us from a broken relic of the Bronze Age and create a new model that will help us welcome and participate in a golden age for Canada and the world. Introduction. This series aims to explore new models of governance and how those can be applied to Canada. We are in the year 2022. We have the internet, blockchain technology, Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and more. We have more access to knowledge, information, and general societal connectivity than ever before. With what's happened in the last 2 years regarding COVID and the loss of rights, and what I would consider being a lack of public representation in our governments and public institutions, it has become abundantly clear that we need to start looking at new models of governance and democracy. In these uncertain and dynamic times that we're living through, does that seem right that we're ceding so much individual and collective power to the state? The rights of Canadians have been systematically stripped away in the name of proclaimed emergencies. It has come to the point where elected officials and the people they appoint are able to dictate how others in a supposedly free society should live. Over the past 2 years, and arguably much more recently, there seems to have been no way for the people to hold their representatives, including the Prime Minister, premiers, and members of Parliament, accountable. The recent 2021 election in Canada gave cover to the facade that democratic ideals still oversee the nation. It is a system that is not designed to accomplish its stated purpose. This first-past-the-post majority-wins system, in which different ridings send one chosen member to Parliament, and that chosen member has the power to represent 100% of their constituents, has the concept of tyranny of the majority baked right into it. In most cases, less than a half of eligible populations at large end up voting for the winner of any given seat. It is by design a very unfair system. It is not designed to provide governance in a way that is truly representative of Canadians' perspectives. In a system of this design, the politicians and bureaucrats are very susceptible to corruption and manipulation because they only represent a small minority of the actual residents of any given riding. In the 2021 election, the People's Party of Canada got 5% of the popular vote and ended up with zero decision-making power in Parliament, whereas the Liberal Party got 33.7% of the popular vote, which was less than the Conservative Party, and ended up with the governing party status based on the governance structure. Fast forward to the Freedom Convoy of 2022, where we've seen firsthand the government's heavy-handed response to peaceful dissent. The will of a minority is being unilaterally forced on the people with no civic engagement. It is clear that our current model runs counter to the ideals of liberal democracy. The model of governance that Canada is using now has been intentionally set up to maintain the status quo of hierarchical power, starting with the ruling elite class and trickling down to the people. It is highly centralized and top-down. The system is designed to keep smaller or alternative voices outside of the governance discussions. There is even centralization within the parties that limits elected members from voting the way they want to. In many votes, elected members are whipped into voting along party lines instead of by their own conscience. The integrity of democracy is further attacked when the ruling party funds and influences the national narrative through a centralized legacy media system that controls all the major television, print, and radio channels. As of 2019, 25% of journalists' salaries are paid by the federal government through a tax credit. So almost all media is partially paid by the federal government, and the media will bite that and the media will bite that hand that feeds them. In partnership with big technology and social media, sophisticated narrative programming happens 24/7. With this influence, they have proved able to rally voters to cast their ballot on voting day, when in reality the voters might not actually be aware of what they're voting for. The current system has been supported by a large cohort of the electorate that has been so effectively and intentionally misinformed that they are making voting decisions based on emotions and systemic conditioning around left and right narratives. They vote on the platitudes they hear during an election campaign rather than the issues. When we reflect on this from the vantage point of where we are all standing today, it's clear the system is not serving the people. We have come to a point where most people in Canada don't really have a vote in their own democracy. For 2 years now, Canada has had to put up with strict restrictions. Proponents say protections in response to what is being called a pandemic, many of which seem to fly in the face of constitutional rights that many Canadians used to think were inalienable. My thesis here is to argue that we would be better suited with alternative governance models, and that we no longer need to rely on a system that was designed before electricity. Arguably, the system that we have now had its day where it worked well, but it's not working very well anymore. We need to look at new models of governance. We have the tools to build a better governance structure, as well as a better Canada. We have the internet. We have blockchain. We have mobile apps. We have secure private programs and protocols. We must simply put these tools to use and embrace models of liquid democracy or delegative democracy to give power to the people. When we embrace a new type of system like this, we will actually be able to be engaged in the civic process. When Parliament was designed, there was no way for everybody in Canada to be able to vote on it. Now in 2022, we have the technology necessary to make sure that everybody has a vote, has a voice, and has the ability to participate in it. The time has come to recognize that the system under which Canadians have been living is broken, and that instead of fighting the system, we should be looking at new systems that can render the current one obsolete. The new system needs to be designed. This book is also a challenge to the innovators in Canada and around the world to start developing this new made-at-home Canadian governance model that is of the people, by the people, for the people, that is radically transparent and has accountability and responsibility coded within it. Given the realities of our governing system and the state of the technologies in the world today, a new type of technology has emerged called DAOs, which stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organizations. They are groups of participants working together to make collective decisions. submit proposals, and direct funding. It all happens in a decentralized environment where all actions and interactions are recorded on a blockchain ledger. The benefit of this is it's radically transparent and accountable. In practical terms, this can mean that instead of a small group of parliamentarians needing to submit a proposal and ultimately vote on a bill, any Canadian would be able to submit a proposal to the CanadaDAO. Then Canadians can vote on these issues right away. This is what's called direct democracy. Now, the truth is that not everybody wants to spend all their time voting on proposals and bills. So what if you could delegate your vote to someone you trust on a set of issues? In this sense, it becomes more of a delegative democracy. This is a form of voting where even the smaller voices have an impact. It's a system where the people do hold elected power, where the people who do hold elected power and are far more accountable because their blocks of support are liquid, not entrenched over generations. For example, there could be a vote on whether Canadians should give new powers to the banks to be able to freeze assets with no oversight. Well, this is a pretty big decision, and Canadians should have a vote on these important matters. In a liquid democracy case, any Canadian would be able to vote, and the results would dictate policy. With vote delegation, stewards could pre-register their position, and people could delegate their votes to the steward so that come the vote, their weight in it is counted. If you delegated your vote to someone, and you decide their view and intentions no longer align with yours, then you can pull that support and apply it elsewhere. The system works so well because it's fluid and liquid, and it can adapt to meet the needs and desires of Canadians. It's also completely transparent. If the intention of Canada's democracy is as it is stated, then these improvements to the system should be welcomed. Much like a candle, the light that our current system projects is centralized and limited, whereas the DAO approach is decentralized, multifaceted, and dynamic, and has the ability to bring light to an immense amount of darkness. This is one of those exponential technologies that can truly transform the way that Canada and its governance system operate. I don't have the complete prescription for how this system is to be built, but I do believe in the power of the people, along with radical collaboration, to build these new systems that are needed. With that being said, the intention of this work is to further seed the idea of how a more liquid approach to democracy can take hold in Canada. It is evident, especially on the backs of the Truckers Freedom Convoy, that the current system has failed Canadians. It's time for us to start thinking and designing collaboratively on how we can build a new system that returns the power to the people so that it serves the people. Why now? Given what we've seen over the last 2 years, it appears that we've been waiting for a moment when people come together and we can truly turn the corner and begin building the golden age of Canada. With the Trucker Convoy bringing together so many away Canadians from across the country, it has become clear that this movement of love and unity is far more powerful than most people had realized. A lot of Canadians had almost given up hope in their country, and now this moment has changed. It's become clear that there is a large demographic of people in the country that stand for and will fight for the ideals of peace, order, and good government, along with freedom and sovereignty. The government has revealed itself for what it truly is. It has become an institution that no longer respects Canadians or freedom by declaring a state of emergency, imposing what some have called martial law, and using state powers to crush dissent for this love-based movement violently. Parliament has so clearly turned into an institution that is more concerned with ego and power than it is with betterment, freedom, and health of all Canadians. The time is now. Because, quite simply, we've reached a tipping point where people all across the country and the world are seeing what the Canadian government is all about and realizing it's just terrible. Imagine if considered how good it could be. Failure is one thing, but the counterfactual, success, is even harder to visualize, and that's the true measure of loss. When we witness the actions that the Canadian government has committed against the people over the last 2 years, more and more people are asking, can we do better? As the pandemic is coming to an end, this is the necessary time of transition. As we go from a pre-COVID to a post-COVID era, we need to focus on the future and learn from the past mistakes. One of the discussions that needs to take place is how we can use this moment in time to upgrade Canada so that we can build a system that is of the people, by the people, and for the people, with the goal of facilitating abundance rather than scarcity in this country. We need to build a new system that is transparent to the core, so that no money goes missing within government apparatuses. So no backroom deals are controlling policy, that they're rendered ineffective. It's time to use transparency and consciousness to dissolve this hierarchical pyramid, so that instead of the few overseeing and controlling the many are able to oversee and participate in the governance of Canada. Now is the time to start creating these models that make the existing one obsolete. Centralization versus decentralization. In our current system, we operate in a centralized pyramid or a hierarchy, where decision makers at the top pass down to lower level decision makers. Canada has been likened to a corporate structure with Canadians at the bottom of the pyramid. Canadians have this perception of power that they can somehow make decisions and influence the decisions of the higher levels of the pyramid based on their points of view and their votes. But the reality is that we live in a global pyramid right now, and our leaders, such as the Prime Minister and Deputy Prime Minister, are not in charge like we think they are, and therefore do not have autonomy over decision-making in the way we are told they do. Our leaders are reporting to corporations, megacorporations, and unelected influence groups at the highest levels of this pyramid. The people have no ability to directly influence the decision-makers of that highest level. When the elected leaders in Canada are actually serving a level of leadership that is above them, then the Canadian people are not in control of their destiny in the way that many think they are. Politicians like Justin Trudeau are more beholden to the elite class above them than the people below him. And that he is, in theory, supposing to be serving. So this pyramid hierarchical governance system means that Canadians don't have a voice and that there's an illusion of democracy and we are at the bottom of this pyramid. In this system, taxes are collected and utilized as a mode of enslavement and domination of the people. What we've seen in the last 2 years that is so strikingly wrong is that the government has made financial decisions on behalf of the people of Canada. As a result, it has resulted in arguably nothing but waste and suffering while simultaneously doubling the size of Canada's national debt. This, of course, places an immense burden on the future, particularly on the working and middle classes. The Canadian people never voted or had any decision-making power into these decisions. We also don't have any transparency into those contracts signed underneath the guise of an emergency. If we had a system that had transparency built into it, there couldn't come close to being the level of corruption that exists now in the halls of power in Ottawa and around the country. The so-called democracy that we are living in is now underwhelmingly democratic. What is needed is a shift towards a liquid democracy model of governance. As already mentioned, our electoral system is such that tremendous amounts of governing power are given to those people who only get a small percentage of support from eligible voters. This system of democracy that we have now is supposed to give people a voice, but that isn't the case. The system is broken, most likely intentionally. The question then is, what becomes possible when Canadians have a real voice in our governance models? In a system of governance where the people can directly participate both by voting and submitting proposals on the nation's policies and directions, we have an opportunity to include new voices, new perspectives, new ideas, and even sometimes old ideas that have been unable to enter the discussion. For example, I'm a hockey lover, and for many years I was a diehard Ottawa Senators fan, which was difficult. Being a fan of a Canadian team is really to be a fan of the perpetual underdog. This is because it's very difficult for Canadian teams to compete against American teams. Canada has a very punitive tax system that incentivizes players to choose to play for teams south of the border, where they retain more of their money and aren't taxed heavily. Most Canadians would love to reform the tax system, especially if it meant more Stanley Cup celebrations north of the border. Still, there is no way for Canadians to challenge this system. Now, suppose 90% of Canadians disagreed with income tax and said, look, there's a better way, and were presented with some better option for achieving the outcomes that the current taxation system is supposedly designed to achieve. You know, in this case, Canadians could change policy and transform systems that have been protected as sacred cows within this centralized governance system. There's simply no way for Canadians to have a collective voice on issues like taxation under our current system. Furthermore, there is no system in place to allow for the type of radical collaboration that would be required to come up for better solutions than we have now. We have the technology now to have a simple referendum, use the principles of delegative democracy, and return power to the people in this decision-making process. Instead of going to the local church every 2 or 4 years to check a predetermined box with someone's name that the voter had no role in selecting for the ballot, Canadians can have a meaningful role in their governance. By shifting our governance model towards a more participatory model, we open ourselves to new ideas and innovative strategies and allow people to truly be more knowledgeable about what is going on, what the real issues are, who the stakeholders are, and how it all fits together. In the current system, decisions are being made by the few that have the consequences for the many. So if we have the ability to turn this pyramid upside down, or really flatten it, so that instead of hierarchies, we all have similar power, then we can move to a system where politicians can operate as stewards on behalf of the people. Still, they will have to receive direct support from the people to be stewards of their vote. And should they lose confidence of the people they represent, they lose that power. This is a model of accountability and responsibility that can ensure integrity within our governance system. Next steps. The question is, are you ready for this? Is the time now to do this? I believe it is. We have an opportunity to create a new system that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. A system that serves the interests of Canadians. In doing so, we can remove the influence of foreign multinational powers from the top of this decision-making pyramid and put the people back in charge of our country, our resources, and our wealth. We now have an opportunity to reject corporate fascism and the rule of the few over the many. When the few rule, the people perish. When the people cooperate, the people flourish. Our opportunity is now. By utilizing decentralized technologies like DAOs, which can afford us a code-based structure, auditable structure, and an accountable structure governed by the people, where decisions are proposed by the people, businesses, and groups, participants can make proposals to the system, but ultimately it's the people of Canada who are the voters of the system and can cast their vote into this system. This is our opportunity. We can build this new model that simply makes the existing one obsolete, because if Canadians have a way to participate in our democracy, in government spending, and in program funding by voting, we can enter this new golden age of Canada. The time is now to focus on solving the real problems that exist, not these fabricated political problems. Faith in government is at an all-time low, while faith in the people is at an all-time high. So let's seize this moment, Canada. Let's build the Canada. Let's come together. Let's reinvigorate our hearts, our minds, and challenge what is possible for the betterment of ourselves, our parents, our grandparents, our children, our grandchildren, and our future generations. If you'd like to support this movement and get involved, head over to canadao.org. That's C-A-N-A-D-A, Canada, O.org. Canadao.org to join in this co-creation. If you can also go on Amazon and leave a review for this booklet, it'll help to generate more discussion around it. We also have a Discord that can join, that you can participate in. Follow Canadao on Twitter and become engaged. After reading this in one take, I should mention, I'm just kind of feeling like, you know, we've really set a stage here, or we're setting this stage, and now in having written this and exploring what's possible now, it's time for us to start collaborating to create this. So I call on stakeholders to come in and discuss and join. And let's identify what our purpose is with Canadao, what our ideal outcomes look like, and how we can start putting together the challenges towards building this. It doesn't have to come, this doesn't have to be a centralized kind of structured movement. This idea of DAOs, of these civic DAOs, to be able to bring people together in decision-making is critical. DAOs really represent the future of governance structures. They don't require registering with corporate entities or corporate jurisdictions. It simply is can be born out of code and can be used for projects, for movements, for municipalities, for provinces, or as I've kind of stated with this book, even at a federal level, it can provide an alternative system for national discussion, voting, and policymaking. I hope you've enjoyed this. Again, if you appreciated this talk and would like to contribute some crypto towards it, please consider donating some Bitcoin. Or if you'd like to join me on Patreon, ask questions, and get involved more intimately, please consider doing that. I'd like to thank you for your attention and your concern, and, you know, just issue the statement that, you know, together we can build a greater future for ourselves, for our families, and our friends, and our patriots, and our brethren. Wishing everybody a most excellent day. May love, freedom shine upon you. Thank you. I'm Kyle Kemper.